Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dave Leventhal. Dave, good morning.
Hey, Joe. Good morning to you.
Dave, as I texted you on Friday, NY23, not even a district yet, but for its first election since being drawn, it's going to be an interesting one to follow.
An interesting one would be a colossal understatement, Joe, here in D.C. The talk about congressional redistricting is very, very much in an urgent way moved to New York 23, which, as you just said, is just about to become a district after an incredibly turbulent redistricting process in New York, to say the least. And with Chris Jacobs now dropping out of the race, this has been a tumultuous situation, has been thrown into great turbulence, and also to great opportunity for some of the candidates who are already running in that race, or if your name is Carl Paladino, could be running in that race. And it's going to be one heck of an affair going forward as we go toward the New York State primary for the Republicans in that district, and also to a lesser extent statewide.
You know, here it was surprising that Congressman Chris Jacobs made that announcement on Friday. How was that taken in Washington, or has it, with everything else going on, has it not gotten a lot of play in D.C.?
It has gotten a lot of play in D.C., and much of it has come in the context of guns and gun regulations and what Congress may or may not do in regard to the rash of mass shootings that have taken place in Texas, of course, in Buffalo, in several other places too, including Philadelphia last night, where there was a mass shooting where at least four people had died. It seems like every time we're talking, Joe, we're talking about the latest mass shooting that's taken place. So for Chris Jacobs to basically do what he did a few days ago, which was say, I do support gun control regulations. I would vote for bills that would severely restrict or significantly restrict guns in the United States. That, in essence, was a poison pill for his own reelection prospects, when many Republicans simply said, you know, that's just not something that we can support. And Chris Jacobs, mind you, I don't need to tell you or WBEN listeners, had been hailed as one of the more conservative members of Congress, and somebody who was absolutely a firewall against liberalism and the issues that many Democrats would espouse. So this was just a striking statement on his part, and he lasted all of a week before he finally realized that the political headwinds that were now blowing against him would be too strong. And Joe, you know, it made me think back to some of the Republican platforms that had been passed in recent years, in 2012, 2008, and I was looking back at the 2008 Republican platform, and a couple of lines really stood out to me in the context of Chris Jacobs. And one was very prominently right at the top of the Republican platform, was the line that said, quote, "We do not fear disagreement, and we do not demand conformity." And it made me wonder, and I was talking to several Republicans about this in the past week, could the Republicans put that in their platform right now and have that be true? I think there's a big debate as to whether you, on certain issues, if you're a Republican and you're running for office, if you're in Congress, if you just simply on issues of guns and abortion in particular, have to agree with party orthodoxy, or you're just simply not going to be accepted as a member of the party.
Now, to that point, Dave, are there any others in Congress that took the stance of Chris Jacobs that are running for re-election in the Republican Party?
Well, one person, Joe, to pay very close attention to is going to be John Cornyn, a U.S. Senator from Texas, who has also signaled that there is at least going to be, in his opinion, some debate to be had on this among Republicans. And, you know, when we're talking about gun legislation, this is not a monolithic issue by any stretch of the imagination. There are any of a dozen and one different things that Congress is talking about right now and that Republicans are debating right now intramurally that could potentially be part of a bill. We're talking about raising the age of purchase from 18 to 21. Talking about, you know, limiting magazine size for weapons, bump stock bans, background checks, red flag laws, we could go on and on. So expect that all of these are going to be part of that discussion. But here in D.C., I mean, even the most optimistic Democrats who would love for all of these things to happen, all the way on up to having an assault weapons ban akin to what was passed in 1994 and remained federal law until 2004 when it expired, is that they don't see there being any possibility of something truly comprehensive and monumental to happen, that if there is going to be anything passed and if any Republicans are going to support it at all, it's going to be around the margins. And then there's also, too, the question of, well, if it's some sort of change in law around the margins, is that even going to matter in regards to stopping mass shootings or otherwise protecting innocent people who are being slaughtered by the dozens, quite literally every month, as a result of mass shootings. So I expect that these are all going to be elements of a much larger, greater, broader, and ongoing debate that is not going to be solved anytime soon and may, like we've seen many, many times, Joe, in the past years after mass shootings, entirely possible that this is just simply going to be a lot of talk that goes nowhere legislatively, and that the status quo, for better or for worse, is going to remain what the law is, and that largely is because of the constitution of the U.S. Senate and needing 60 votes, not 50 votes, because of the filibuster to pass anything. And, you know, find me 10 Republicans in the Senate at this point, with the Senate being split 50-50, to go against their own party. You might find one or two or three, Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, but after that, you're really struggling to find who exactly is going to support any of the things that we just mentioned.
Speaking of Senate and needing 10 Democrats, or 10 Republicans, Dave, I have to ask you, where does Joe Manchin stand on this?
Joe Manchin, he is the ultimate Democratic conservative. It sounds like a complete oxymoron, but that's effectively what he is. But Joe Manchin supports Democratic positions sometimes, and oftentimes he does not, much to the chagrin of the Democratic Party, who has wanted him to support lots of different things, especially spending bills that Joe Biden has had at the cornerstone of his agenda, and he has failed Democrats, at least if you are a Democrat, on every occasion in that regard. So, you know, Joe Manchin, he represents a very conservative state in West Virginia. This was a state that voted for President Donald Trump in 2020 in a major way and supported him in 2016. So, you know, Joe Manchin is not somebody that the Democrats at this point, knowing what Joe Manchin has said about this, can reliably or can rely on and be a reliable vote for them on certainly something that's going to be a comprehensive gun bill, although it is possible, and it appears to have opened the door to perhaps voting for something that would be less ambitious than something that's an all-of-the-above type of legislation or type of bill that relates to guns.
Dave, when we have you on the show, we seem to always bring up former President Trump and President Joe Biden. How about we bring them up in one question? This is something you wrote a few days ago. Trump staffer records should remain secret, according to a Biden administration lawyer. This is a Biden attorney sticking up for someone from the Trump administration?
It is. Hey, look, we think so often of things just in terms of Democrat versus Republican and Trump versus Biden, and there would never be a situation, right, where there would actually be some sort of cross current or unexpected twist in that standard story. But in fact, my colleagues and I, we had filed a Freedom of Information Act request, as we do for Democrats and Republicans all the time, to get more information that we feel should be in the public domain, but the government is not released. And as a result of that, the Biden administration actually fought us and refused to release records about a little-known office that gets created after every president, regardless of who it is. This happened for Barack Obama. This happened for George W. Bush and going back. But this office is basically a post-presidential office for, in this case, Donald Trump. And we had a very basic question, which was, who's working in this office? Who's getting taxpayer money to work for Donald Trump, and also too for former Vice President Mike Pence after they had left the White House? And the bottom line was that the Biden administration didn't want to release this information. So we sued him in federal court and said, no, you're actually violating the law. The public has a right to know about any of these post-presidential offices. So give us the information. And in essence, they had put in a federal court filing just last week a very full-throated argument as to why they don't want to release certain aspects of that information and tell us who's getting taxpayer dollars to work for that Donald Trump and Mike Pence post-presidential office. So we're continuing our case going forward, and we hope to win so that everyone can know exactly where their taxpayer dollars are going.
And now, speaking of President Joe Biden, I'm at the gym yesterday, Dave, and I look up at the TV and see that the president has been rushed to a safe place, to some secret bunker. A plane entered airspace it wasn't supposed to be in. What did this turn out being?
Yeah, it turned out to be just a little private plane, and this has happened more times than you think in Washington, D.C., and other places where the president has been. And the quick 20 seconds on this is that it was just basically a mistake, and a little plane got a little too close to restricted airspace around Joe Biden. They scrambled F-15 fighter jets and basically, did what to do in a situation like that. But, yeah, a little scary for a little period of time, but ended up being a whole lot of nothing. I can think back to only a few weeks ago when a similar situation happened near the U.S. Capitol, where basically there were paratroopers who were paratrooping down from military aircraft at the Washington Nationals baseball stadium. You may have been at a sporting event where this has happened before, and it's very fun to watch, and you've got military personnel paratrooping down from planes, but they forgot to tell the U.S. Capitol Police that this was going to happen, and they had to evacuate the Capitol. So my phone is blowing up, and everyone who's in the Washington press corps is getting all these alerts saying shelter in place or evacuate the Capitol, and it was just a mess for a good half hour. So these things do happen. They are taking, I think, extreme precautions in any of these cases, and even though the attacks of 9/11 are now basically 20 plus years hence, you still have that fear that the thing that is unthinkable is going to happen again. So nobody's taking any chances, especially with the screw up that happened a few weeks ago when the Capitol Police didn't get informed of the fact that there were going to be jets in the area dropping people and stuff like that.
Dave, I might be looking too into this, but I'd like to know your take. You know, as you said, 9/11, 20 plus years ago, but we also have a really, toxic political environment right now where the temperature, in my opinion, is just way too hot. Do you think that also adds to a little of the extra security and the little extra to overreact, or what some perceive as an overreaction?
Well, yeah, I mean, things are very tense here, and we need no go no further than the situation transpiring at the U.S. Capitol with the January 6th investigative committee in the U.S. House, which is going to begin to hold public hearings just in the next few days. So as a result of that, you're going to have political tensions that are already incredibly heightened and super overdrive. And also, too, it leads to the possibility that there are going to be protests, that there are going to be some people who are going to take this to extremes. And it's obviously just going to be as contentious a period with wounds being ripped wide open again in the most public of fashion. And yeah, Washington, D.C., it seems like we're always on, you know, some sort of elevated alert for any type of activity, foreign or domestic, that might take place that could be scary and problematic and violent. And that's going to be really just put into motion all over again in the coming days when these hearings begin to take place.
Yeah, you brought it up, Dave. That was my next question. Thursday, the public hearings will take place at 8 p.m. What are we expecting, if anything, out of these initial ones that I believe will be televised public hearings? What are we expecting?
They are, and you underscored the biggest part about it is that they are going to be televised public hearings, and that it's going to be happening in prime time. This is not something that will be happening, you know, at 10 o'clock on a work day and maybe aired on C-SPAN or someplace where you have to really, you know, want to go to find it. This is going to be very much front and center all throughout the country. And even though there have been now months and months of periods of activity with this committee, and there have been literally hundreds of people who have testified before it, much of this has been happening without extreme attention or televised attention or the spotlight, the limelight of the public eye on every twist and turn. But we're really getting to the point right now where we are hitting stride with this committee, and everyone's going to know exactly what is going on and where this is all going in a very, very public fashion, Joe.
And that was my next question. So you have public hearings now that start. Is it going to go public hearings and then report filed? How much longer does this go? We're 10 months into this special committee. How much longer until there's a commission report that we expect from stuff like this?
Yeah, it's impossible to predict at this juncture, and that's really going to be based on the committee itself in terms of when they feel that they've got enough information to release the report that ultimately they're going to write. And they got to write it, too. So that's going to take some significant time, and you can only imagine the legal particulars and the lawyers that will be involved, and this is going to be a process. So if you're expecting something, say, this summer, you're going to be disappointed. I think we're looking at something very much by later this year. We have a little thing in November called the 2022 midterm elections that you also have to grapple with, too. So, you know, again, it's difficult to game this out at this juncture, but I think a lot of us would be surprised if there was anything released in full prior to the election, and likely this is something that could even go into 2023.
Dave, always good catching up. Always appreciate talking with you, and we look forward to talking with you on Tuesday with Brian and Susan.
Likewise. Thanks a lot, Joe. Have a good weekend.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.